Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions.
Well, how you doing, Nathan?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It has been a while since we got to record.
It has. We've been pretty busy with the end of the year, New Year, all this stuff.
It's funny. It's like every time we tried to get a date to record, you'd be busy, and then you'd get a free weekend, and I would be in a show, or then I went off on that New York trip.
Let's actually blame it on the person that doesn't have the mic. It was John's fault.
And then when we were both free, it was John's fault.
Yeah, let's just blame him. He can't talk. He could talk loud, but he doesn't have a mic. He's just running our tech and making us sound pretty cool and making us.
But it is good to be back now. Can we share a favorite memory of John though before we start?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
What about that time when we were getting ready to start the show and John showed up and he was very disgruntled. You remember this?
I think there's been a few times like this, but I think I know where you're headed.
He was very upset because
did he have a bowl of potatoes in his hand, the mashed potatoes?
Well, it was where you didn't get a spork or a
he didn't get a spork from KFC. He was so upset that he waited in long line.
Well, we can't say KFC. They didn't sponsor us.
Oh yeah, KBC. Oh, it's Hoagie Yogi.
They
yeah.
didn't sponsor us either.
Oh, it was Gogi Nogi. You know what we mean. But yeah, he was so upset. He was late for call time. He's like, I waited for 45 minutes and they couldn't give me a spork or a spoon. They have one job. I remember that. He was outside rage quitting about that. I remember. I do remember that. Yeah, you were pretty angry. I was like, well, we got spoons inside, but that wasn't the point. The point was that they could not give him a spoon or a spork, whatever it was.
I don't know why that just popped into my head right now. But
right when you said I have a story about John, I was like, I know what story. I played a jackal once, whatever that is. And I was mad about that. I had a human head under a dog's head. It was weird.
The jackal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, it was a jackal, but I made it jackal, so it rhymed with Jamal.
The jackal.
That's stupid. Whatever. All right. Anyway.
Well, see, this is what we do, everybody. But we when we haven't recorded in a while, we have to sit and reminisce first.
Yeah.
It's funny stories.
It's a beautiful day to be here recording, huh?
It is. It's really nice outside. And so I guess we'll get into it. As I said, it's been a while. Got to get back into the swing of it.
Well, let's start with something that you just got done doing, some kind of cool that you kind of do every year, right? You've done it a few years now. Why don't you just tell us a little about your New York trip? And last time you talked about that one artist, I can't say her name.
Let's say if we can
say it without laughing.
Without laughing this time.
Ping Chu?
Ping Chong.
What was it?
Ping Chong.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that is.
The acting classes and all that. I remember we talked about that in a previous podcast.
Yes.
And well, we didn't really talk. We laughed for about 10 minutes.
And you know, that would have been like a 3-hour podcast if John hadn't gone back and edited all the times.
I'm glad he did.
We had to start.
And after that, John's like, again. No more stopping. We're just going to go. And what you do, you do. I remember. We
Ping
got in trouble.
Chong.
There we go. Yep. Ping so that was a previous Chong. One. So tell us about this trip. What was it like? What happened? What did you do?
Yeah. So I took another group of students down. And there were 10 of us. We had two chaperones and 8 students. And went down and just did the normal sightseeing thing and everything. But then we got to see several shows, and one of them was like the coolest show was Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
I didn't know that was a Broadway show.
That is a Broadway show, and well, you know, it originally opened in England, and everybody was like, I don't know, Harry Potter fans have had very mixed reviews on this thing, because they're used to reading the J.K. Rowling books. And then this comes out, and it's not like a novel, it's a script, but it was made available to everybody. And they get it, and they're expecting a novel, and it's in script form. And so I think that would really throw people kind of right off the bat. And it's very hard to imagine how they would do this stuff. Like, I'm sitting there reading it, and it's like...
You read the script prior to seeing it?
Yeah, I read the script right when it came out.
Oh, okay.
I was really excited about it, and but I'm sitting there trying to picture in my mind, how could you practically do this? This is so crazy. Like, they've got a chase on the top of the Hogwarts Express, and they've got people dueling with wands and flying across the stage, and just like crazy, like pyrotechnics and bam, 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 and like I'm sitting in my mind like, I don't think I could ever put this show on, not ever. And then I go and see the thing, and so let me tell you, you walk into this theater. It's at the Lyric Theater down there, I believe. And the theater is themed to Harry Potter now.
Oh, wow.
It's like if they ever closed Harry Potter down, they wouldn't just have to change the stage. They'd have to change probably the theater itself. You walk in there and it's just like every, I want to say even the carpet was like kind of themed to the show. Different things throughout, different little visual things on the walls and things like that. It's just all Harry Potter. It's really, really cool. And then you sit down and the stage is just, I don't know. It is set for some Harry Potter magic.
Wow.
And then it starts. And the coolest thing about this, the actors, they're not just actors. They're like illusionists as well. It's like every one of them. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a thing, you know, goes with the magic that they're doing up there, but they may like, boom, disappear on one side of the stage, reappear somewhere else, come flying through the sky. It's like,
so it's obviously one of the coolest shows you've ever seen.
Like, technically speaking, it was phenomenal. Like, they really put some effort into this thing. And then the choreography in this thing. There wasn't dance, but there was choreography. Mm. In the way... Do you ever see those movies?
Yeah.
You ever seen the movie? Do you remember the moving staircases?
Yeah.
They have a whole scene with moving staircases, and people are literally walking up one, and it's timed out, so the other staircase is there right when they go walking down, and the staircases are moving, and all these people walking over around them, and people are spinning the staircases. It looks like a dance with the thing. It's pretty incredible.
That is pretty awesome.
And it was one of the coolest shows that I'd seen. Now, we took some of the students had never seen a Harry Potter movie or read a Harry Potter book, and so they didn't really know what was going on, but they were still very into it. Having pre-knowledge of the books and the stories definitely helps, but I guess it's not necessary. I don't know. I think I would be a little bit lost, but I think maybe you could see it and just have it stand alone.
Mm. Well, I bet part of the I'll say the benefit of seeing stuff prior to it is knowing all the magic and the stuff that has applied to the movies in the past. So your mind's already living there, you know, as opposed to trying to create it from the beginning and draw you in. You already have some sense of the style and the theme of the show.
Yeah. And it is a total tearjerker too.
Oh, wow.
It was.
So the story is good too. The way the story is done is
I thought the story was very good. I thought it was all really, really good. I just found it very odd or ironic maybe that Daniel Radcliffe was down the street doing another show while somebody else was playing Harry Potter.
Well, that is a little weird, huh?
It's like, why don't you put Daniel Radcliffe in? I want to see Daniel Radcliffe do it.
Was it hard to see someone else play that character, though?
Nah. He was good in the part. Okay. And we're used to, I think what made it okay is we're used to seeing Daniel Radcliffe play like the teenage Harry Potter. And this is like an adult Harry Potter.
I see.
Harry Potter's got his own kids and everything at that point in the show. And so it's, you know, we've never seen Daniel Radcliffe do that, but I would like to, like, I would love to. I know he's like trying to break away from the Harry Potter stereotype so he can play other roles and stuff, but I would love to see him play in the adult Harry Potter. But then after that, we went and saw Kimberly Akimbo, which was it's a fairly new musical, really small cast. I think maybe 8 people. The band was up on the stage, like kind of above where the actors are.
Uh-huh.
There was the actors, and then there was like a level where the band is above them. Can't say it was a full orchestra. It was, looked like a, it was bigger than a 4-piece band, I would say, but it wasn't huge. It wasn't like a symphony going on or anything. But that was it was very good. That also a complete tearjerker, more so than Harry Potter.
Mm.
does not.
Not as tech heavy either, right?
No, no, not nearly as tech heavy. That one you could do. That one, we went from seeing Harry Potter, which was so tech heavy, to Kimberly Akimbo, which easy staging. Very, very simple, very well done, great storytelling, fun music, but it's a sad story. It's about a girl that, did you ever see that Robin Williams movie called Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got that condition where he ages faster than everybody.
Yeah.
And that condition affects like some extremely rare number of people. Well, the girl in the show has that condition.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm just going in there thinking like, oh man, I don't want to see this. We're going to fall in love with this girl. And at the very end, we got to watch her die. And like, I don't want to do this today. But it was a really good show. And little spoiler alert, you don't actually see her die at the end, though you know that it's right around the corner.
Right.
Kind of like with the Robin Williams one. You don't see him die there either. You see him graduating high school, but he looks like 200 years old. He's just given the speech, but you know, he's like probably later that night, it's done.
Yeah, that's sad.
So same thing. She's like, she goes on like a trip with her boyfriend, and you know, you see her like smiling for the last time, you know, like, okay, she's happy, but not going to be a Kimberly Akimbo too. Would you say that?
Right. Yeah. Right. So what else did you do? Like educational wise for the kids, or what else did you do? Any other things like go to any seminars or?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And yeah, we did go to one more show, and that was a,
Oh, you went to three shows.
Yeah. We went to three. Cool. And this other one was a staging of a two-person show. It was an off-Broadway show. And so it was kind of a little tiny theater. I want to say it maybe could fit, I don't know, maybe 50 people.
Oh, okay.
In it. It was pretty small. The stage was very small. So this actor, or the, sorry, this show had just two actors in it, a guy and a girl. And they were just telling this story about a journey that they're going on. They're these actors that ride around on their bikes and they go perform at different places. And I don't know, it was, I think by far the energy and the enthusiasm of the actors was the best part of the show. The script was, it was, I'm sure, I don't know, I just say it wasn't one of my top favorite things, but those actors sure got on stage and killed it. I mean, it was literally just the two of them the entire time. I think the actors made everybody kind of interested in the story.
So they drew you in more than the story did itself.
If you didn't have those actors, but you had that script, there would have been a real problem, I think. Yeah. So, and then for a seminar, we did this workshop with Commedia dell'arte masks, and we kind of would put the masks on and look in the mirror. And this is a little trippy because they can tell you like the instructor would be like, all right, you can have your pick of the mask. And he's like, the mask is going to change you. And I'm just over here like, okay, whatever, you know, type thing. The mask changes you.
What?
And you go through this process. Like he would have you pick out a mask, and we're talking nice masks. I mean, these are probably handmade. They're actual Commedia dell'arte masks, really nice, really professional looking, all different expressions. You might pick a happy one. You might pick a sad one or whatever. But I was watching people do it, and a lot of the people in there, most of the people in there, I did not know. I may have known like one or two of them. And so I saw these people that I didn't know. I saw their faces just briefly, but then they put on a mask. And the instructor would be like, all right, now touch the mask. Feel every bit of the mask. Actually, before they put the mask on, it's like, look into the mask's face. Touch it. Feel it. Hold it up to you. And then he had them put it on. And then he's like, how does the mask guide you? And I'm watching them, and they start to move differently. They go to the mirror, and they start to look at themselves. And it's just like they're becoming the mask. And I'm sitting there watching this process unfold. I'm like, this is wild. And they start moving around. They start interacting with each other. and they're different.
So the physicality and everything.
Everything is different. Their physicality, if they have a happy mask, a lot of them were creeping around, you know, doing funny things. But if they had a sad mask, you know, they were kind of moping around, and the happy masks would come and try and cheer up the sad masks. And it was really something to watch. And then he told them, all right, when the time was up, probably about 20 minutes, he had them take the mask off. And he said, if you need to say goodbye to it. I'm like, if you need to say goodbye to
what?
It, what are you talking about?
They've been now? So connected to it? Or?
Yeah. Wow. And I'm like, that's weird. But then it became my turn to do it. And at the end, I needed a goodbye with the mask.
What?
It's because you put the thing on.
And this is a class?
Yeah. It was like a, yeah, it was like a workshop.
And who is it? Who is the guy?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have a memorable name like Ping Chong.
Okay, no one but, does.
I can finally say it without laughing. It only took like a little over a year. Ping Chong. Yeah, but no, the guy was, he was excellent. But wearing the mask, that just made me, I don't know. I don't know what I think of that, but you put the mask on and it literally does change you. It changes the way you move. It's like you are guided by the mask. And I wish you could have tried it, because I know you're over here like...
It sounds weird.
This does sound weird.
But I do think if you could transfer that into characters you play without mask, really, we'll say putting on that mask when you play a role, like that's the same kind of thing. I think that'd make you a better performer as outside, take the mask off, but to become a character, to truly become them, and almost like you have to say goodbye to the character when you're done on stage. You know, I think that's kind of a cool metaphor, or maybe that's a step in part of his acting workshop.
You know, with these the other people that I really didn't know that were putting the mask on, I'd forgotten what they looked like. I forgot what their faces looked like because they're under this mask. And then I'm watching them. They're entertaining and everything. And all I'm seeing is the mask. And so at the end, when they finally take the mask off, you're like, wow, this is just so different. And then they go back to their normal persona after you watching them move around and interact and do things like this. And it was just weird. But there definitely was a lesson there to be learned. I don't know, I guess in the way it changes. But I have to recommend that to everybody, to every actor or whatever. Find a mask and put that on and just see what it does. I mean, for people that are serious about it, people that are like would really seriously do this, look in the mirror, watch the way you move, try things. I know that's really not a beginning actor type thing. That's probably something, you know, you get really into it at that point. But it does change you. Like, I can stand here and say, like, I was a part of that, and I don't know how it works, but it was an experience that I won't forget that.
That sounds cool.
I've even got a picture of me in my mask. I can show you later.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It'll look freaky. I picked the freaky mask.
I'm sure you did.
Of course I did.
I already knew that.
Yes.
What other stuff did you do?
Yeah, that was just, you know, typical stuff, the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty. And
did the kids, like, when you hear them talking when they were leaving or since then, have you heard a lot of, like, reflection on with experiences and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know what always gets me every time?
What?
Is taking them to Ground Zero.
Mm.
And literally standing there, and at this point, they weren't alive when that happened.
Right.
I mean, and as we do this, you know, throughout the years, it would be like, okay, they were really little when this happened, or they were just babies when it happened, and now it's they weren't born when this happened.
Right.
And, you know, you ask him about it, like, you know what happened here, right? And not all of them have the full picture like we do. I mean, we sat there, we lived through that day.
Right.
And not all of them do. And so they don't exactly know. I mean, I have to go through the whole thing with them. You know, right there, and tell them, like, you see this spot where you are, you know what was happening, you know, during that time, it was insane.
Wow.
And some of them, they you know, they may know the gist of it, the planes at the Twin Towers, but
the sense of sacrifice and loss,
the everything that went in there, the firemen, the policemen, people running down the street, the people that were jumping out of the building and falling down, hitting the sidewalk. And I'm like, you know, right where you're standing, yeah. Literally right where you are right now. This is where it was going down. Like this place is.
I bet our generations something. Before us did the same thing. I know this one was on American soil, but I bet our generations that were in Vietnam or Desert Storm, even like we were younger in Desert Storm, but like all those conflicts or wars that were before us, the people look and go, you have no idea what sacrifice has been made for what you have today. Like I'm not getting political, but it's crazy to think that. It's so easy to take stuff for granted. The fact that we get to perform theater and do art and stuff like that is because of people like that, you know, the sacrifice that has been made. And we don't even know. Like, we weren't around for those wars, but we don't even know what went into that. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like looking back after the fact, like if you were born after that, it's like, okay, it's over and you're safe.
Yeah.
Things are safe now. It's like, you know, things are bad. But do you remember that? That day?
I do. I was on my way to high school. I was in high school still.
It was terrifying. And
we saw the news, and then we were in the car, and the radio said, like, don't go anywhere. So my mom turned around and went back home.
Because I just remember, like, you didn't know how widespread those attacks were.
Yeah.
I was watching TV, and someone was reporting from the Pentagon, and all of a sudden, like, they hear a noise, like, what's that? And their screen goes blank. And I'm like, what just happened? And, like... Crazy. We had no idea. Was it just limited to that area? Were there other attacks that were going to happen? And everybody's, you know, panicking. And then you see the videos of the, and so like, you know, we lived through that day. For anybody, you know, like, you know, born after that, it's like, they're looking back on it, but they didn't have to feel that, like no. The terror of that day.
Right. So the kids receive that when you tell them?
I think that they do. And then they can go and reflect. They can
do their own research or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just sent them away to just kind of, we talk about what happened and we go through a very thorough story, and then they go and they see the names, and it's just a very quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been out there? Have you seen that?
No, I was there when they were rebuilding, but I never went in down below.
So they got like all the names on there, and they're walking by, and they're just reading all the names of the people that died right in that spot, and I think that's when it kind of starts to hit them, and then we do go talk about it, you know, later, like, okay, how do you guys feel about today's trip, like, what did you know, and so we see like the Statue of Liberty that day, we see the Stock Exchange, we don't go in the Stock Exchange, but we pass by it and just see where it's at. We go to Trinity Church, where Alexander Hamilton's buried. See that, and then we go to Ground Zero, and then that night we went to the Empire State Building.
Mm.
Check that out. So it was a pretty full day.
That's awesome. Just seeing the part of history, but also experiencing theater differently. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time, and so I don't know how much time we got here. We got about seven. All right. So let's quick dive into one of these. Sorry, we spent a long time on that New York trip, but like really,
it's okay. It's important.
But I would check that out. Like anybody like masks, that's a whole study in itself. Like for any actors that want to check that out, masks. I don't know. It can encompass so much. Stuff that's on stage. I mean, they always used to use masks back in the day. I mean, it could be just acting. It can be dance. It can be just some movement going. I don't know. There is so much stuff, but it was like a big door was introduced to me right there. And I mean, it's one thing knowing masks. I mean, I know that people use masks. I've seen masks used before, but I had never seen masks used in that way. And that was an experience. Right there.
Well, Mike, we can go a little long on this episode, but since you were talking about just the past and just even the appreciation of, you know, reflecting on 9/11 and Ground Zero and all that, that our next topic is kind of one that we could kind of dive into. And I have a couple words or adjectives that I think could describe, but things that were learned in 2023 kind of our biggest lessons, something that we took away from last year. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good segue. We could go a little long this episode. I think it's okay. It's our first one back in a while.
Sure.
So do you want to start off with that and kind of give some thought on what was some big ideas or things that you took away from it? If you want to use one word to describe and elaborate, or
from that trip, or
no, from this last year, 2023.
Adapting, I would say, is got to be a big one.
Adapting.
I mean, we had just changing circumstances going on. I mean, it's this post-COVID thing with dinner theater. It is something, because it's like you want to set ticket prices, but dinner is so expensive.
Right.
And you want to know what I've learned about, like, dinner theater through the years? I think that people would be more apt to forgive a bad show than bad food. Hmm. Like, if people don't... Like, we never get complaints on the shows. Only one or two times in all the years I have been doing Play With Your Food have we ever had somebody, like, literally ride in and be like, you know what? That show wasn't good. But the food, you get, like, complaints on the food all the time. And I should say that the food is not bad, but people are used to, like, you know, I mean, we serve salmon, we serve beef tri-tip, we've chicken, things like that. But it's so hard because tastes are different. And so there's only, like, take the beef, for example. There's only one way that they're going to make the beef. They're not going to make the beef tri-tip different for every person. So when some person, I like mine medium, I like mine well done. It's like, well, no, we can't do it specifically for that. And, you know, like, that person got three more pieces of broccoli than I did. Can I have my dinner roll looks funny. Like, I don't know. But so just to say, like, people are far more apt to be wanting to complain about the food than the actual show. But the price of food has gone up so much.
Yep.
Like, it's insane. And so I've been having to, like, adjust my ticket prices. And I hate adjusting ticket prices. But it's, like...
So you had to lower your prices?
I had to raise the prices.
To make up the cost for the food expenses.
To make up for the cost of the food expenses.
Oh.
Yeah, like, people... And it's still, like, unpredictable. Like, every time I do this, like... Because I set the prices for the season, like, at the start of the season.
Right.
But it's very feasible that 3 months in, the caterer could just be like, well, salmon has just skyrocketed right now. And all of a sudden, that's not budgeted in there. And you think, right. Oh, come on, how much could salmon, like, you know, but if salmon is, like, the most popular choice, and if it goes up, like, if they have to charge me an extra couple dollars, and that's a couple dollars out of every ticket,
yeah,
that easily could jump into, like, well over $1,000.
Yeah, you can't eat that cost or take it out of your people's budget. That doesn't work.
Yeah. And so if you're, you know, trying to budget very precisely, that gets rough. And then, so, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is, like, knowing what kind of shows can I put on, but not have to raise the ticket price too much. Like, I hate raising the ticket prices. I've been running it for 10 years, and we started off at $40 a ticket, and we're at basically 47 now. So I guess in 10, 11 years, we've only raised it $7, which that's not huge, but I don't like to raise ticket prices. I like to make it as affordable as possible for people. But it's just, like, it's just necessary to do it, to keep up with the raising prices. But how about you?
I think the biggest thing for me would be perseverance. Just pushing through. Like, when things get rough or seem impossible, that's actually not just for the theater, that's for me as a person, too. When things get rough or you feel like you're tired, you're worn out, you're not sure what direction to go or whether to stop, I think perseverance is the key word. Just to keep pushing forward. And then to realize there are people rooting for you. I think that perseverance comes with a tagline. Even when people do fail you, I still think you should have perseverance. But it's easier to have perseverance when you step back and realize you have friends, you have family, you have people that are here supporting you, not even necessarily financially, but just giving you a pat on the back and say, keep going, you're doing good. Getting that affirmation, I think, is good. But I think the biggest thing with 2023 is perseverance. When circumstances change, if your car breaks, if your rights fall through on a show and you have to change your title, if someone in your audience unfortunately has a heart attack or gets sick, whatever the situation is, it's the perseverance of pushing through. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from 2023 is keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. It doesn't mean that you can't change your direction, but just keep moving forward.
All right. You know what we should do?
What?
I think we should close out the episode right now, but start the next episode talking about this stuff because there's so much in there.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So that way we don't have to rush it.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We'll see you guys in part two, hopefully.
On part two. Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Upstaging Gentleman.
Later.